Linda, take it away.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. This is our eighth stage meeting. We have a ninth coming up in July, and we encourage you to join us and create a play with us. So I want to start, this is really about the playwrights tonight, so I want to start by introducing them. So when I call your name, please stand up and be acknowledged. Susan Fry. Jane Sagovitz-Dale. Richard Seltzer. Fabulous ensemble, Cindy Geller, Jack Lovefield, Drew Lewin, Lauren Suchecki, Michael McNamara, so what's your play in the process? Playwriting is different than every other form of much because it is about being seen, being observed, and being heard. So you can't really finish a play until you've seen it, with actors reading your words, with a little bit of direction. So we have very minimally worked on plays in terms of that part of it. The playwright has been working on them for a few months. But we rehearsed today, so you'll see some minimal blocking, minimal props. Writing, because it's a 10-minute play, does not mean that it's easier to write. In some ways, it's harder to write. Because you only have 10 minutes to get everything in there. You have to get characters, conflict, have complications, and wrap it all up in 10 minutes. So we really need your feedback. You are the audience, and that's what theater is all about, is putting this stuff up for you guys. So you all have an audience feedback form in your program. And we would love it if you would take a look at the things that I suggested you think about and write in response after each play. There will be time after each play because we will be setting up for the next play. And we value your feedback. I take all of the notes and I put them into my computer. I separate them by play and the actors get them. And then between that final feedback from you all and from watching their play today, then the actors, the playwrights should be able to be closer to a final draft. So this is a process. We love the process. And I hope you all love it because you're part of it. Feedback sheet, we did that. Oh, tonight we have a special feature. When we had the seventh stage reading, we talked about Ernest Hemingway, who made a bet that he could create a great story in 6 words. And Susan Fry and Charles each wrote a bunch of 6-word plays. And I challenged the audience that night to write their own 6-word play. So we have some of them. We have them tonight. So before each play, we're going to read one of the plays from our last audience. So if you recognize your 6-word play, you get acknowledged. So please stand up so we can acknowledge them. Thank you. Because they were hinted in anonymously. So I'm going to start the evening with Hemingway's 6-word story. This is it. For sale. Baby shoes. Never worn.
Wow.
Here it is. Wow. So with that, everybody, please enjoy this evening. And we will get started. Our first play is House of Cards by Susan Fry. There are five characters. Four, females ages 6 to 75.
60.
60 to 75. They are in a nursing home, a suburb outside of Boston. They are playing cards. It is the present day, late afternoon. And we will begin.
Well, ladies, what conventions are we playing? Gorin, Scheinwald?
I recently learned a Chinese convention called precision bidding. Do you know it, partner?
Yes, I do know it. So let's begin. One club. Ladies, can you believe this past winter?
One diamond. By the way, we are familiar with the precision bidding. So be prepared to be on your toes. We know all about cue bidding.
Let's see. One heart, I believe. Talking about this winter, my daughter lives in Boston. She witnessed an actual murder on her street where a neighbor bludgeoned one of the snowplow drivers who had dumped a load of snow into his cleared-out parking space.
One spade. Well, my daughter's family lives in Gloucester, and their neighbor, a real asshole, was plowing out his own driveway across the street onto their street parking spaces. Her car was buried over the roof.
These kinds of conditions really reveal who your neighbors are, don't they?
My bid. Let me think. Two hearts. There are a lot of people considering a move down south now. Mm. My old neighbor bought a place in Winter Haven, Florida last year to play it safe. And did he get the surprise of his life? His new home disappeared into a sinkhole. Some heaven.
Pass. Well, Florida does have sinkholes all over the state, more than anywhere else in the nation. I wouldn't move to Florida for love or money.
I did three hearts. True, Jerry, but you don't have that option anyway. Talking about winter options, my old neighbor spent a fortune on a Norwegian cruise line last winter looking for the perfect rest boat, but they got a nightmare. Not only was there a huge heroin bust on board, but the kitchen hosted a salmonella outbreak, which infirmed a third of the passengers and crew. He still gags when anyone mentions egg salad.
Gee, you know, I really love egg salad. Is that on the menu today?
Wait, hello, it's your bid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I will bid. Four diamonds, partner. Now I can't get egg salad off my mind. I do like it with a dash of cayenne pepper and maybe some horseradish.
I bid four hearts.
You can't bid yet.
Oh, sorry. Four hearts. Wait, what were we saying? You don't need a cruise for a catastrophe. My sister took her family on a ski excursion to Vail last winter, and their son was lost in an avalanche. Yeah, it's a real crapshoot out there.
Four spades. It is a crapshoot. My son's family got caught in a cyclone on the Royal Caribbean, headed for the Solomon Islands this year. Spend most of their time in the sick bay, including the kids. And none of them have sea legs. What were they thinking?
Five diamonds.
Five hearts.
Did someone mention a crapshoot? Nuclear threats of World War III? Drone surveillance? Cyber warfare, banking fraud, climate change, ISIS, sea rise and sea slime, melting glaciers, government plutocracy, GMO food, California drought and oil spills, Fukushima radiation, earthquakes, pervasive stupidity, and really bad TV. You wonder if it's even possible to be cynical enough these days. I can't seem to keep up.
That's for sure. You can't even keep up with the bidding. Now, where do you get all this bad news anyway?
Six diamonds. Oh, mostly from the internet. Back to stupidity in Florida. Did you read where the Florida legislature banned the use of the term climate change in the House? I don't think those politicians even know what it means. But they will when the seawater starts lapping at their veranda. Talk about denial.
Ladies, I'm all for denial, and a strong fantasy life definitely helps the days pass, too. Damn. Six hearts, partner. I'm going for the small slam because the distribution has got to be wild.
Pass and double. You know, the more you consider the state of the world these days, I'm just happy to be where I am. Mm. Everything's safe and familiar.
Mm. Pass and redouble? Mm. Yeah, safe, familiar, predictable, and boring. Yeah. Not to mention limited options and nothing ever happening.
Pass. What do you mean, nothing ever happening? This place is fraught with intrigue.
Pass. Oh, we got the bid for six hearts, right?
Pass. Right. Say again, what about the place being fraught with intrigue?
The bid is six hearts. Redouble, and it's my lead. Sure hope it's the right one, partner.
Okay, partner. You can lose only one trick, and the bid is redoubled for penalty points. So mind your P's and Q's, and no distractions for you. But, I'm curious, too, about that fraught with intrigue business.
Well, we may be missing sinkholes, avalanches, drug busts, and food poisoning. But Shady Pines is zoned for sex and other nefarious deeds. Open your eyes, ladies! I can't believe we haven't shared this information before.
Sex? That is the last thing I'd ever apply to this place.
Well then, you haven't been paying attention. First of all, you must know that our prissy administrator is shacking up with that young male nurse on the night shift, and their trysts are taking place nightly in her office. Then, those two lesbian nurses from Ward C have been caught with their pants down in the nurse's lounge on several occasions.
Those are just rumors. Just like the one about the off-duty firefighter visiting Mrs. Butler every night for the last 3 months, supposedly finally caught in the act last Friday. Mm. My God, she's practically comatose.
Those are rumors. She is comatose.
Oh, Mrs. Butler in her late 90s, and she still has some sex appeal.
Her fire must still be burning for that fireman. Then, there's that cache of porn and S&M paraphernalia found in Mr. Duke's room. Someone mentioned he might be operating an internet porn business behind the door.
Mr. Dirk, the pervert jerk, that's what they call him.
Are you lady smoking the weed? I never heard of such goings on.
Speaking of weed. There's plenty of that going on, too. The only reason you can't smell it is because of the high levels of Lysol disinfectant they use for the usual aromatherapy in this place.
You know, I'm tempted to indulge myself since it's easy to get now with aspirin. That might be a trip down memory lane.
Now, if you really want to dish the dirt, I know for a fact that the old Lucky Seven is operating a clandestine operation right here under our noses, under the guise of bingo nights. And on top of that, see, the Wicca Witch in Ward 6 holds seances every Thursday after midnight, where the nursing staff not only covers for them, but participates too.
Oh, wow! I'm beginning to have a whole new appreciation for Shady Pines. You think the name was intentional?
Well, then there's the situation with the visiting dentist who has been fondling the old ladies on a regular basis. Besides padding the Medicare invoices for dental implants. And that really weird podiatrist turns out to have a foot fetish, and he has the mind out by the tenfold at his door. I can't even imagine that scene.
Now that you mention it, I did notice him lingering around my pinky toes.
Well, since we're on the subject, I did get wind of a rumor that the ladies' auxiliary might be running an out-call business through the gift shop, maybe inspired by the Mrs. Butler scene. You can never account for the male turn-on.
Oh, yes. And that visiting social services worker has been banging the work clerk on Hall C in the laundry room. Not to mention that nasty business about our dear, dear chaplain. Oh, and then there's the cook in the kitchen who has some kind of cabal with our local mortician for running a cache of weaponry in the body cask. Really, ladies? You can't even make this stuff up. I can't believe you haven't heard all this stuff.
Well, I keep pretty much to myself these days, but I am sure glad to be hearing all of it. Mm-hmm. Jesus! To think my family actually has been harboring guilt for dropping me off here the last year. This place has more action than our country club.
My family is also contrite about my living here. But I think I may hold this new information very close to my chest. You know, playing the guilt card is a beautiful thing.
And so is this partner. We made the small slam even sweeter with the added penalty points for the double. Great start to the afternoon.
So, how do you play the guilt card, my friend?
Well, usually I'll play the bad food card, complaining about the boring cuisine, so they take me out to eat, or at least deliver some restaurant goodies now and then.
There's another great guilt card that's played around the very lonely card, which increases family visits twofold.
Yes, those work well, but I have an even better one. I need some distraction card, which amounts to technology. You know, my Kindle and iPad. And I'm looking at that new Apple Watch. Ooh, after all, they want to keep me entertained.
True. And one can always play the feeling so poorly card. That means I will require extra tender, loving care, flowers, and perhaps a nice bed jacket.
You know, I'm really getting into this new Shady Pines living. It inspires me to pay more attention.
Yeah, yes, me too. I'm loving this new lease on life. Considering all the options now available in this house of cards.
Nurse Ratchet, are they serving egg salad for lunch today?
Well, I'm not sure. But you can always put in a special request. Right now, I'm delivering your soma medication.
Oh.
I am delighted to see you ladies engaged in your card game. Apparently, it's the only game in town. Carry on.
And it's funny.
There's you, Mum. Lizzie Louise. She's got fleas. Chop her up and buds and peas.
Where'd you get that from, Ivan the girl?
Mom, you come back. Where are you?
That silly ditty.
But it got your attention, didn't it? It's what the boys always said they went when they were mad at you.
Those blotters and one. Always back talking they were.
Mom, where are you? I can't see you. Can you take a look at this picture? I found it in your photo books. Well, there's all 13 kids, I think. No, only 12. But where's me? Was this before Dad went off to war?
Is that all you dragged me back for? For my lovely long sleep? To look at pictures? Oh. In loving memory of Lizzie Louise Williams, 14 August 1873, to 7 September 1951. Who wrote this?
I did, Mom. It looks nice, doesn't it? For everyone to see.
Yeah, it's all right. And what's this in little letters at the bottom? Loving wife of William George Williams.
Oh!
You got that wrong, girl. And loving mother of Gordon, Edna, Marjorie, Norman, Jack, Ina, Phyllis, Arthur, Hilda, Ruby, Dorothy, Len, and Ivy. Good job I didn't have any more, eh? There wouldn't be room for all of you. So, what brought you to my grave today, girl?
I've been thinking of you a lot.
Do you ever visit your dad's grave?
No, never. I never would.
Can't say I blame you. Well, he was with you.
You never said that to me before, Mom.
And I'm not saying anything now, either. So, you want me to look at the photo, do you? Now give it me, then. I'll take a butcher's look. This was took after your dad came home from the war.
Well, where am I then?
You're not in a photo.
Why not?
Dad didn't want you to be.
What, was there something wrong with me, Mom? You can tell me.
Nothing wrong. Just different.
Different? Different from the others? What, was I adopted?
Course you wasn't adopted. Do you think I'd take someone else's nipple when I had already had 12 of my own?
And then what was it then, Mom? You kept me in the back room when we had visitors. Why didn't you want anyone to see me? Even my grand didn't seem to know who I was when I was little. Oh, who's that little friend of yours, she would ask my sisters.
That stupid old cow. Of course she knew who you were.
Oh, she never brought me presents like she did for the others.
She only bought them socks and shoes and things like that.
I'd have liked some new shoes. You had me write Dad a note to ask for new shoes, and I never got them. I had to stuff the holes of my old shoes with newspapers.
Oh, you got shoes?
Yeah, pass-me-downs.
So what do you expect? We was a big family. If this is all you dragged me back for to complain, my legs hurt. I'm going off back up there.
Don't you disappear on me, not yet. Not until we've talked.
And you waited until I kicked the bucket for this? Go on, then. Cat got your tongue? Go on.
When I was a little girl, I'd glue myself to the window whenever you went out. Come back, Mom. Please, Mom. Please.
What'd you do that for?
If you didn't come back, I'd be all alone.
Oh, come off it. You had 5 older sisters.
They never looked at me. And Dad never spoke to me. Ever.
Well, sorry, girl. We was the only family you was gonna get.
I never felt a part of the family. I wanted to belong. I wanted it so much. When I was older, my friends became my family, and I got away from the house whenever I could.
Yeah, not to no good. You mark my words, I used to say.
I was a good girl.
You could have ended up in the family way, girl, like me. I'd never have married your dad if he hadn't gone and gotten me knocked up.
I didn't know that, Mom.
It took me an own dad's shotgun in his back. So William George Williams had to marry me to make an honest woman out of me. But I could have had someone respectable. I could have been elated. Like you.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, well, don't get used to it.
Oh, Mom. Do you know, I used to wish I'd never been born.
Would have been easier.
You're so cold-hearted.
Well, I am dead, all right?
Lizzie Louise, she's got fleas. Chop her up with spuds and peas.
Listen. I'll give you fleas, girl. You was all right. Ugly run of a baby. Snotty nose, wimpy kid. But you turned out to be passable. Look at you.
Why didn't you say these things to me when you were alive? Look. No photos of me. Yes, here's my wedding picture. Well, that's something, I suppose.
And there's me. And your dad.
But look. Look at Dad. He had his head turned away from me. Do you know he tried to stop Arthur from marrying me? Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew. He said he thought Arthur could do better.
Better than his own daughter?
You really don't know, do you? Or is it that you don't want to know? With all your smarts, how come you haven't worked it out?
Then you tell me, Mom.
I'm not saying. You'd better get your dad up here, from down there. You can ask him. Yeah. Why don't you ask him and let me get back to me beauty sleep?
Stop! Look at him. Just look at him with a couple of the boys playing ball. See, he could be a regular dad.
Oh, yeah, he loved his boys.
But he never liked me.
You really don't know, do you? Oh, he had his own reasons.
What reasons could make him treat me like he did? Tell me, Mom. He was the grown-up. I was the little girl who had done nothing wrong. He punished me my whole childhood, my whole life, with his silence.
Back to the winging, eh?
And you. You could have made it better for me. Were you that afraid of him?
He had a temper. That's all I'm saying.
I cried myself to sleep at nights, thinking I must really be a bad person. I thought, if I was a really good girl, everyone would love me, and I'd belong like the others. You could have stuck up for me. But no, not you. You were a slut. That's what the neighbors called you, slut. Lizzie Louise, she's got fleas. Chop her up.
Don't you call me names.
Oh, go ahead, hit me. I'll see if I care anymore.
I'm off. I've had it with you. Listen to me, Ivy. I'm going to say this once, and then I'm going from here. Your dad, he didn't have to go to war. They let you off if you had a large or big family. But no, not your dad, not William George Williams. Down he went to sign on. 1914, soon as the war was declared. Thought it was a bit of a lark, like they all did at the start. Didn't give any thought to how I was going to feed them all and put clothes on their backs while he was gone.
Was he gone a long time?
Till he was wounded.
When was that?
Questions, all these questions. He was born in about 3 years. 1917. Yeah, that's when it was. He finally shed his ugly mug again.
And I was born in 1915.
Yes, you was. Don't look at me like that, girl. Them was hard days. Your dad left me just enough to fill up the larders, cans of cornmeal, bags of spuds. But then my money ran out. I had to grab around for food and for coal to keep the house warm. And then I met Aldrich Goff. He was a gentleman. He treated me proper.
Where do you meet this Albert Kaufman?
Albie and I, we both had nippers at the same school. And we kept bumping into each other. He saw I was struggling to make ends meet. So, tit for tat, and old bot.
Tit for tat.
Use your imagination, girl. You wanted to know, and I'm telling you. And then we had proper food on the table, and he gave me money and sweets and new stockings, and then you was born.
I'm a bastard, aren't I?
I wouldn't put it like that.
How would you put it then, Mom? I'm a bastard. Everyone in the family knew it. I felt such shame at being different, as you call it. I just didn't want to believe it. If anyone asks me about my family now, I just say I have a sister, that's all, and she lives up north, that's why I don't see her. My whole life seems like a network of secrets and lies.
Well, now you can get on with it, can't you? No more secrets, no more lies, as you put it. And that's me lot. I'll be on my way now.
Wait a minute, Mom. Did he ever see me? My real dad?
I told him. I'm done.
Mom, please.
He saw you, and he held you, and kissed you, and he cried. I never seen a grown man cry. And he bought you things.
That teddy bear.
And then they moved away. And I never heard from him again.
Did you love him, Mom? What happened when Dad came back from war?
You thought you was a neighbor's little girl I was looking after. But I had to tell him, and he beat me. I think you got what you wanted from me, Ivy, didn't you? Don't get your knickers in a twist anymore. Goodbye, love.
Dad, look at me, will you? Yes, me, the bastard. You thought I brought shame on the family, so you made me invisible to you, but you were the one that left Mom
with 12 kids to fend for herself, and she did the best she could. That was your shame. Yours, William George Williams. But I've beaten you in the end. I don't have any of your blood running through my veins. I'm free of you. So you can't hurt me anymore. I brought you some roses, Mum. They're your favorite.
And curtain. Our next play is We'll Always Be Together by Jane Fairfax-Dale. Characters. Don Weston, a 60-year-old doctor, and Jan, his wife, is about the same age. Place is the Weston's kitchen and family room. Time is early fall. Scene one. Dan sits in his easy chair with his feet up in an ottoman, reading a book.
Good assortment of bills today. And woohoo! My October little Social Security check. And Dan, look, there is a postcard. This postcard from that couple that we met on the coast, remember, last spring on our anniversary trip?
Which couple was that?
They want us to come visit them. Oh, you know, the ones with the we had croissant coffee with. He was wearing a Red Sox cap, and that was how our conversation got started. They only live a few hours from here, and we talked about that. About what were the chances we'd meet someone so close to home, halfway around the world in France. Remember? Anyway, they say they'd like us to come for a visit.
Really? Mm-hmm. Hugo, I can't get away with the holidays coming up. It's just too hectic in the office. But you should go. You're the one who's retired, after all. You've got the time.
Oh, but I'd like for us to go and see them together.
No, I just can't.
Well, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. You're no fun. Now, what about coming with me to Amy's on Saturday to see her new apartment? I know she wants you to see it.
Saturday. Oh, mm-hmm. I said I'd take the call for the other doctors. Rob's going out of town for a wedding or a funeral or something. But I'll see it soon. And I did see the pictures. Hey, maybe Amy will come over for Sunday dinner. What do you think?
Well, maybe. I'll ask. And, well, I'll think about driving down to the Myers sometime. But I wish you'd come with me.
Damn it, Jan. I don't care anything about seeing those people ever again. And it's a long ride, and I don't have the time. And I don't want to. You're the social one. You go.
Yes, I'm the social one. I'm the one who tries to keep us connected with a few people in this world besides our daughter. Really. Dan, since your mother died, you're more reclusive than ever. I'm tired of feeling socially isolated.
I'm sorry.
What good is it having all this time in the world if I can't even get you out of the house?
Well, I'm tired of being told I need friends, that I need to see people.
Well, aside from our Amy, we really don't see anyone else these days, do we?
After 30-plus years, don't you get it? I see patients all day long, try to solve their problems, meet their needs. When I get home, I just want to be home. I don't want people asking me anything of me, not to be friendly, not to be witty, not to care about their health and their problems.
You think I don't get it? Well, wasn't I the one who agreed to be independent, who developed interests, made friends, raised our daughter, cared for your mother, planned vacations? Oh, no, there must be somebody you'd actually like to socialize with, to see socially. Someone from your work.
Jan, please.
Well, now, maybe that young medical student who started in your office right after our anniversary trip. Leslie, right? The one you always raved about? So naturally talented, so inquisitive. Maybe that's a new friend you'd be willing to see.
Stop it. I'm 60 fucking years old. Do you think I should be able to have whatever friends I want?
Friends? You don't even have any friends. You have patience.
That is a low blow, Jen, even from you. Leslie, Dr. Manning, has been a lifeline. We talk medicine. I'm like a mentor to her, and I enjoy the company. It's wonderful to be around someone who's so bright and young and eager. And is that so bad? We are friends, whether you like it or not.
A lifeline? Wow. I can just see it. Yes, Dr. Weston. No, Dr. Weston. You're so wonderful and kind, Dr. Weston. You're such a stellar example of all I hope to be someday. How did I get so lucky to draw a rotation with the famous Dr. Weston?
Stop that. It doesn't become you.
Neither does dishonesty.
Honestly, Jen, you're making something out of nothing.
Really? In all our years together, I've never questioned you about anything. I've trusted you. But you've been distant and surly since your mother died, and emotionally absent during our big trip. So much for celebrating 30 years of wedded bliss, huh? But I chalk that up to grief. What's going on with you? Are you having a midlife crisis, a little off schedule? Are you having an affair?
No, I'm not.
Then why do I feel threatened?
I have a young friend. That's all. Unusual in our culture, I'll grant you that. But Leslie is someone I can talk to about medicine. She's just a kid on the way up. I feel I have something to offer, and she makes me feel useful. But really, there is no threat to our marriage. Really.
Be careful, Dan. And don't be naive. These things have a way of developing a life of their own. Oh, there's Amy. Now, she wants me to go and look at curtains for the apartment. I didn't realize it had gotten so late.
Don't worry, Jan. I'm committed to our marriage, to our family. Nothing's changed. Believe me. We'll always be together.
I won't be too long. Be back for dinner. And then maybe after dinner we can watch a movie or put on some music and dance around like we used to.
Sure, that sounds good. Ask Amy to come in and see the old man when you get back.
Okay, I will.
Hi. How are you? Nothing really. And you? Saturday. Sure, I'd love to. I'll meet you there at 4.
That's the end of scene 1. Scene 2 is a few months later. Setting in the same place. Deb Rides dances in the chair by the ottoman reading the paper. There's Christmas music playing as Jan puts food on the table.
Our first Christmas together, since your mother passed. And 2 months ago, I wasn't even sure that you and I would be celebrating together this year. The holidays. Here, now eat. I made your favorite stew tonight. I invited Amy to join us, but she couldn't. She's busy until after.
Jan, we should talk.
About Christmas, yeah. I know you said you didn't want to go to the Andersons, but I would like to go.
Not about holiday parties. About something else. About Leslie.
Leslie? You want to talk about Leslie? The friend that you apparently called and texted a dozen times a day in October, according to our bill. You want to talk to me about Leslie, that woman? The reason I left on Halloween night and didn't come back for 2 days, that Leslie?
Yes.
Amy was frantic, thinking that I had left you. Remember? You talked me into coming home. You said the flirtation had run its course. You promised that she wasn't going to work in your office anymore. You said...
I know what I said. She hasn't been in the office. But this past month, we've gotten back in touch.
In touch? Meaning what?
Meaning, I'm confused. I don't know what I want at this time in my life.
What you want? What are you talking about? You're talking about our life.
Well, that's the point. You know how lost I've felt since Mom died last spring. I had no idea I would take it so hard. I felt like the bottom had fallen out of my world. I felt like I never had a life of my own, and I felt angry.
Angry?
When Mom died, I realized I had lived my life largely to please her and to please you. I became a doctor because her dad was a doctor. Stayed in this town to practice because she was proud of me, wanted me near. And something else. I think she and you both got social points for being Dr. Weston's mother, Dr. Weston's wife.
That's so unfair. I've been a good and loyal partner to you. I've supported you. I asked for so little.
Well, you have. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm tired of living my life to please other people. I think I need some time on my own to sort things out.
Sort things out? What are you talking about? Are you talking about work? Or are you talking about us, our marriage?
I honestly don't know. I'm just confused, that's all. I think it's the turning 60 thing, losing Mom, seeing Amy move out with her own life, feeling old. Something is gnawing away at me. I have to wonder if I still belong in this marriage.
After all these years, you're wondering if you should be in this marriage? How dare you!
Jan, please!
I've put my heart and soul into this relationship for more than 30 years.
Well, I've tried to!
Well, but we did it differently. I put you first, always first, even above our child, because I thought that was the commitment I'd made. For better or worse, for richer or poorer, I made you the center of my life, my star, and I was willing to be the supportive player. You provided me and Amy with a good life, comfortable life, but it came at a cost. Your moodiness, your emotional distance, frequent criticism of me, and now you're unsure. You selfish prick.
Like I said, I'm confused. I didn't go looking for this. It just happened. Believe me. But I think some time alone would help me think things through.
You're leaving me. You told me it was safe to come back to you, and now you're leaving me.
No, I don't know. I just want to be alone for a while.
Alone? Or with her?
I really don't know. Honey, I don't want to hurt you. Really, I don't. Look, I've taken a little apartment next to the hospital. I think it'll be better for both of us if we have some time apart.
She's just a friend. She's not a threat to our marriage. How could you do this to me?
Well, I wasn't thinking of you. And this isn't about Leslie. It's about me. What I want. What I need to be happy.
What you want. I came back to you because you told me that you wanted to work on our marriage. And now you're leaving me. I don't deserve this.
No, you don't.
I love you, Dad. Doesn't that mean anything after all these years? God help me. I still love you.
I'm sorry, Jan. I really am. But I'm at a place where I have to choose between my happiness and your pain. And I want happiness. I don't want to hurt you. I do love you. But I don't think I can live with you any longer. We've grown apart. We're incompatible. I disappoint you.
If there was disappointment, it was years ago. But I adjusted. That's called marriage. I made a commitment to you, to us. And I carried on because that's what I signed up for.
I know.
And now, at 63, you're telling me that you want something else. Someone else. Someone 25 years younger than me. It's such a cliche. Dr. Weston, you are a heartless bastard. Dan, get the hell out of my house. Get out. Go to your friend. Go.
Get cell phone buzzers.
Oh, hi, Amy. Yeah, Mom's home, but she's busy right now. I know, fine, everything's okay. But I don't think you need to come by this evening. She'll call you tomorrow. Oh, Amy, listen, I'm getting another important call. I've got to take it. Thanks, honey. Bye. Hi. Yes, I did. Oh, don't cry. It's going to be fine. She understands. Yes. I will. I do. I'll meet you at the apartment. Of course I mean it. I know it's the right thing. Stop crying. Yes, me too. Believe me, we'll always be together.
And a pleasure.
Our next play is Heel Hitler.
I already felt it. Cast of characters. Sean, 67 years old. Well-groomed in a business suit. Didn't dress up for a special occasion. Rather, this is how he always dresses. Successful in his own eyes. Adolf O'Leary, uncle, 90 years old. Exuberant, self-satisfied. He takes his losses in good spirits with no regrets. The time is a morning in 2013, and the setting is outside an apartment in Atlantic City.
That old, my life must be going too fast, doing 90 way over the speed limit. That's not my fault, officer. The accelerator's stuck.
Long time no see.
Said the blind man.
Cuba C.
Said the travel agent.
Yankee no.
And he should know better.
You're still quick.
Better quick than dead.
And missed you, Uncle Adolf.
Well, if you'd arrived tomorrow instead of today, you'd have missed me again. I'll be shipping out to a nursing home in the morning.
Yeah. So I heard.
You can't be playing with stuff I can't take with me. Dying should be easier. You don't expect to keep your stuff then, but ripping it away while the body's still warm? Downsizing, they call it. Death by a thousand cuts, I call it.
Can I help? Do you need anything?
Yeah, a new life, size 8, with rubber soles. Check the devil's pawn shop.
Same old Adolf.
How did we get so far out of touch? Before you went off to college, I was your fountain of wisdom, and you were a thirsty lad. It did me heart good to sound wise to you, when to myself, I sounded like a fool.
I'm a pro at procrastination.
And I'm the morrow in tomorrow.
We make an odd pair.
A losing half.
I've lost already. That's what brings me here. Learning about the nursing home got me off my ass, but I need to bounce my troubles off you like I did in the old days.
Well, pray tell. No, don't pray. Just tell.
You remember your story about the bugle boy back in World War II?
I wish I could forget it.
The day after your, before, the day before your unit is due to ship out, you get orders to transfer to an army pit.
A fine band of brothers it was.
Your old unit winds up with the Battle of the Bulge and everybody is captured. Then on the way to the prison camp, the Allies bomb the train. And there's only one casualty. The bugle boy who took your place dies.
Right. My O'Leary's luck, the fuck of the Irish.
That's what you said. You win some, you lose some. But you said it loud and often. And to me, what you didn't say was louder than what you did say. You were singled out. You were saved for a reason. You had a destiny to fulfill. Your story told me that we each have a little path we should follow, a straight and narrow, a reason for living. Life's about duty and self-sacrifice. We should live as if what we do matters in the grand scheme of things.
Ah, yes, the grand scam of things. I never cared for that myself.
But you don't care now, but there was a time when you did. Dad said that story changed you. I mean, you were pre-med, dedicated, and you came out of the war this mellow, happy-go-lucky guy I love, who we all love.
I saw the light, and it was good. Better a world of chance than one made of destiny and duty. Cast a cold eye on life, on death, and raise a point to those who went before.
Your banter was enough for me years ago. But I need more than that. Talk to me straight. Adolf, please, I need your advice.
You of little faith. There's wisdom in wordplay, me lad. The language knows more than I do. It lives, it grows. We use it, we change it, we learn from it. It's like a game of tag, from one generation to the next.
Horseshit.
Like that too. Today's shit, tomorrow's fertilizer. In the beginning is the word, at the end is the turd. We're all manure in the end.
I get it. That's how you see the world. That's how you've lived, how you've led, and you're proud of it. But I couldn't live that way. I craved for meaning and purpose. I needed a path to follow. With that story as a touchstone, I could tough it out. Year after year, I could go to work in the morning. I could hold my marriage together. And then the story changed.
What do you mean, changed?
We expect change moving forward. But when the past changes, that's another matter.
Okay, well, what changed?
The bugle boy. I was proud of my life and of the story that had inspired me. So proud that I wrote about it.
Aye, there's the rub. Pride leadeth to a fall.
And someone searching for himself found that story and contacted me.
Wasn't it Socrates who said, Google thyself?
The bugle boy.
Google boy?
The guy who died in your place. He contacted me.
You have changed, my boy. Now you believe in ghosts?
He's alive. That story you told, that story you heard was false.
Shh. I kicked that can down the road. I joked about that story, but I never doubted it. And it was nothing at all. It didn't happen. I was making fun of nothing. The joke was on me. There was no connection between his life and mine. Things just happened, like I always said. It feels strange knowing that now. I wonder if I really believed what I said. Things just happened.
Yes, things just happened. That's what took the wind out of my sails. I couldn't believe in Santa Claus or God, but for years, that story gave me faith that life can have a purpose. Without that faith, I couldn't go to work in the morning. I couldn't make my marriage work.
Well, it was a sleeping dog story.
What?
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Life isn't a joke.
So you give a flying F?
What?
Take the F out of life.
And you have lie.
Spell God backwards.
And you have dog.
It's all a shell game. So what shall we do?
Okay, I get it. It's all just chance. What I do means nothing.
Yes, indeed. Step right up, my boy. This is your chance of a lifetime. Take a good look. The house lights are on. You can see the makeup and the props. It's all a show. So enjoy the show. Carpe diem. Carpe nightum. Carpe everything you can get up. We need to kickstart the rest of your life.
How the hell are you going to do that?
Well, let's walk the dog and talk the talk.
Dog? I thought that was a basket of dirty laundry. You have a dog in there?
That's about all I have. A Dachshund, 20 years old. Blind in one eye. With a lame in one leg. I can't take him with me to the nursing home. This will be my last walk with him. The vet will put him down tomorrow.
Shit.
Amen. Shit almighty. I should have taught him that trick. That would have been a good one. Shit, Rover. Shit. Heel.
Adolf, the dog isn't moving.
Well, then I'll take matters into my own hands and walk the basket. It won't be the first time, but it will be the last. We won't last much longer. Heel, Hitler.
Hitler?
Yes, of course. Hitler's the dog's name. That's what I named him when I bought him last year.
You bought an old, lame dog?
Of course. Do you think I'd want to name a healthy young dog Hitler? What would be the joke of that?
Joke? What joke?
This is my revenge for what that upstart in Germany did to my good name. That is the essence of a man. His good name. Like my father always told me, you might lose your money, you might lose your health, there's nothing you can do about that, but your good name, don't let anybody take that away from you. When Hitler took my name, I knew I had to do that dog thing to get my name back. But I kept putting it off, and it wasn't until last year that I finally got around to it. And now I guess it's too late. Nobody gets the joke. Kind of like me. My life's a shaggy dog story that's gone on so long that nobody's going to notice the punchline at the end.
That could have its upside.
Which is?
If an old man dies and nobody notices, does he really die?
Like old soldiers in movies, he just fades away.
That's life, that's death. It rains, it shines, sometimes it shits. But what the hell is it? The great, all-powerful it that does everything.
The itness protection program. Don't go looking for it. That is the wrong game. You knew the meaning of it in kindergarten.
What?
The you're it and I'm it. And we pass the power of itness from one to the other. That is the meaning of life. That's my tell.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Life's a play. Let's play.
I'm game.
You're it. That's your cue.
I forgot my line.
What's my line?
The price is right.
The prize-winning answer?
It's all about the ants.
Oh, the ants go marching by one by one.
They all go marching
in down
to the ground to get out of the rain. But what is the answer, the real answer? Not just wordplay.
Well, check the internet. Everything's in there. eBay, E-Trade, ESOP. I'm the reed and you're the oak. I bend, but you don't. Integrity has its price. The wind rips you right out of the ground.
But what is it? The great and powerful it. What's the point of it all?
I told you already. You're it. I was it, and now you are. Glory in your moment.
So we're playing tag?
We're a ragtag fugitive fleet.
On a lonely quest.
For the holy
mackerel.
We're too old to run and hide. But with a slap on the back, we can pass the power of this back and forth. We can pass our legacy from one magic generation to the next.
Here's my own Buell. Take it. It's yours now. And if you ever fear you're blowing your chance at life, blow this instead. And then, when you hear that I'm gone,
I'll play taps for you.
No! Play the boogie with me, the boy from Company C!
And tap dance to it.
That's the spirit! Heil Hitler! Hell, bloody hell, I miss you, Hitler. Take this tool, in remembrance to me. Here. Keep him close. Make him heal.
I promise to protect him from sick jokes. Heal, boy, heal, said the doctor.
Doctor who?
Here's a Horton.
Give him a Grinch and he'll take a mile.
So the Cat in the Hat comes back.
Coming back would be good.
So be prepared, like a good scout. Buy a backpack. Buy a six-pack of backpack.
Give that boy a round of applause and a square meal. And let's hope that the performance of our lives earns us an encore.
It ain't over yet, kid. Show goes on. Don't give up the shit. I won't put you down, and the vet won't either. Carry on, trooper. Heal, Hitler. Heal.
End of play. No. Heading for the stars. The second one is, love me like you used to. And any recognition anybody here wrote any notes? My next play is Afterbirth by Stacey Granville. Cast of characters, Isabel, a 25-year-old new mother. Mark, Isabel's 25-year-old husband, father of the baby boy. And Agnes, Mark's mother, maternal grandmother to the baby. Place is a hospital room. Time is early morning, pre-dawn, a couple of hours after the birth of their son. At rise, Isabel lays in bed with her son in her arms.
How are you doing, love? Everything okay? I can't believe we are parents.
Feels like a dream. Except for the ice pack between my legs. That's about as real as it gets.
I'm a father. That's about as real as it gets for me.
Congratulations, Daddy.
You too, Mama. Your life will never be the same.
Look at my grandson! Oh, Apple!
Congrats, you too. Has he eaten yet?
Mom, he's only 2 hours old. He's not ready for your lasagna.
Don't be silly. Look at him, yes. That big boy is hungry. I can feel it. He's squirming like a hungry little caterpillar.
I just tried feeding him, but it wasn't easy. I'm not sure he got enough milk. I need a little rest before I try again.
Oh, sure. You rest, Isabel. Yes. Oh. Ooh. Ooh. I'm sure you won't mind if I take my grandson to the nursery for a while. I'll see if he can drink a little bit from a bottle.
Actually, I would much rather you didn't, please. That would just make it harder for me to breastfeed him later.
He's hungry, Isabel. Doctors encouraged me to use formula with Mark when Mark was born. There's nothing wrong with it.
No offense, Agnes, but your generation was made unconscious by doctors during birth process. Mark probably got his first bottle before you even woke up.
Formula was good enough for my boy.
Everyone knows breast milk is much better for babies. Industry-made chemical substitutes better than mother's milk. Come on, who can buy that?
I didn't really think about it. I was told what would happen to me. You know,
You know what they say, doctors know best.
They never asked what you wanted, Agnes. I'm not unconscious. Could you ask me what I want to do?
You're right, Isabel. It's your decision. It's just that he's fussy. Maybe he didn't get enough milk, like you said. Let me see if a few ounces in a bottle soothe him. We'll try breastfeeding again after you have a little rest.
I've never felt so tired. If you think he needs something to hold him over before I try again, get him whatever he needs. But this will be the first and only bottle, Agnes. Agreed?
Whatever you say, darling. Come on, baby boy. Come with me, Anna. We're gonna find you something to eat.
If I fall asleep, promise me you'll wake me up if she puts another bottle in his mouth.
Okay.
Promise me.
Okay, I promise.
I had no idea how much breastfeeding would hurt. Figured the rest would be painful and scary, but not this.
Open mouth, insert nipple. Seems like a pretty easy process. I'm looking forward to it again myself.
It's not as easy as it seems.
You'll get the hang of it, no doubt.
I just can't believe he's finally here. That was the longest night of my life.
I know, right? Seems like he's been in there forever. I'm glad when it'll be my turn again soon.
Your turn?
You know, when we can get romantic again. To be inside you. I've been shut out from that sweet shop for like 2 months. In a row.
I'll be sure to stick some Skittles on my nipple right after my nap. Really, Mark? That's what you're thinking about right now? Your son was just born.
I know, baby. I am so proud of you. I love you so much. I miss you. All of you.
I'm right here. All of me is pretty banged up at the moment, not feeling all that sweet.
I know. You need your rest. Did your lady doctor mention how long I would have to wait?
I'm not a commuter rail train, Mark. There is no posted schedule to tell you when you're allowed to get off. Jesus. What has gotten into you?
I'm sorry, honey. You're right. I'm sure it won't be too long. I hope Fella is doing okay.
Ugh, that dog is indestructible. The neighbors will take good care of him. Oh, he's going to love his human baby little brother.
That's for sure. My baby boy is something special.
Our baby boy is something special.
He's got your lips, my nose. Looks like a bodybuilder already. He's gonna be a bruiser.
A bruiser? How can you say that about our beautiful baby boy?
It's a compliment, is he? Don't you get it? He's not beautiful, by the way. That's not how you talk about a boy. He's handsome. He's a little handsome dough.
You're kidding, right? Yeah.
About what?
You just equated our son with Satan. Want to name him after a serial killer, too?
Ha ha.
Let's not decide if he, at our son's life at 2 years old, at 2 hours old. Bodybuilder, bruiser, devil.
They're not just words, Isabel. They're just words, Isabel. Just making conversation. I have so many thoughts and feelings racing through my head. Cut me some slack. I'm half asleep and pumped by adrenaline at the same time.
Just think of our son as a gift. The feelings get sorted out later.
No doubt, a gift. But an overwhelming responsibility, too. Some guys can't handle it. I obviously don't think he is a devil. You're just being oversensitive. Are these those crazy mom hormones the doctor warned us about? You know, after birth?
The placenta? Why are you talking about afterbirth now?
God, gross! I'm not! Please! I'm talking about how mothers are crazy with hormones after having a baby. The postpartum thing. You even hurt the baby sometimes.
Postpartum thing. Stop right there. The candy shop is about to close for long-term renovation.
Okay. Let's rewind. I don't want to upset you.
Too late.
Look, I'm trying to apologize.
Really? That was about as clear as my afterbirth.
Stop.
Do you even know what a placenta is? What it does for the baby?
It looked pretty gross coming out of you. That's all I know.
It's the source of life while the baby grows in my uterus. Some cultures, it's considered sacred in some cultures.
That's deep, babe. Maybe when I get to go deep again, then I'll appreciate it. Whatever comes, whatever source of life you want to share.
Again, we're back to sex. Where is the compassionate guy I married?
Men have needs.
And women don't.
I'm not talking about the need to constantly talk about your feelings.
You don't even know what you're talking about. Postpartum hormones can be lifesavers. Oxytocin is the ultimate. Oh, it's what makes us human.
Why are you talking about drugs right now?
Not oxycodone! Oxytocin! And I'm surprised you've never heard of it.
When would I have heard about hormones? Talk about them with the guys after work? Come on!
You may not talk about them, but you feel them all the time with anyone or anything you care about. Oxytocin floods your brain every time you look into fella's eyes. It's part of the reason you love him so much and why his tail wags like crazy whenever you see him. It happens in dogs' brains, too.
I had no idea.
The ultimate O is your best friend, Mark. It also creates sexual arousal and longer erections.
Well, it sounds like something I want to learn more about.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the only hormone I need for sex is testosterone. Now that's what makes us human.
Aggression makes us human? Who are you?
Mark T. Winchester Jr. That's who I am. Your husband, remember? The baby's father. You've been my girl since college.
I don't belong to you, Mark.
You took my name, didn't you? That's how marriage works. It's a tradition. Been like that since the olden days. You give up your name and become part of me. That, kind of like Adam and Eve, right? Oh. You're just a rib, baby.
And you're just a dick, baby. Suck it!
Watch it.
Since when do you quote the Bible? I can't believe you're doing this right now. This is not what I expected from the man I fell in love with. From my baby's father?
Doing what, for Christ's sake? Staying by your side for the last 23 hours? Holding your hand? Rubbing your back to help you with the pain? I was here for you.
And you're supposed to get some kind of credit for just showing up?
Yeah, I do. That's more than what my mom got. That's more than what I got my whole life from my father.
Your mom deserved better. And you did too.
Yeah, she did. My pop showed up when it was all over. Told my ma he had the best gift for her to celebrate.
What was it?
Golf clubs. She didn't golf. Never did. He didn't stick around long enough to teach her. The clubs were for him all along.
I'm sorry that happened to both of you. But I deserve better too, Mark. My body hasn't been my own for the past 9 months. Three shifts of labor and delivery nurses have seen and touched parts of me all the way to third base. My sweet shop feels like an Amtrak train jumped the tracks and crashed through the front door and straight out the back. And all you can think about is your own Tootsie Roll.
All right. Drop the sex thing. I get it.
Right.
I've been up the last 23 hours too, you know. Give me a break. Maybe I should just go home. Yeah, you can handle this on your own.
Don't be him, Mark. Don't leave. We all deserve better than that. Especially for our son.
It's not him. My son will know I'm not him. My son will know who I am.
That's it? I thought you wanted your son to know what a father is. To have what you didn't.
I do. It just hit me real hard what this all means. What do I know about being a dad? I'm afraid. That's one lady hormone that is coming in loud and clear.
Fear isn't gender specific, Mark. Men just have a hard time admitting when they feel it sometimes. We can be afraid together. We can do it together.
It's different for me. There's a black hole where my dad is supposed to be. Your parents are still together. You know what a family is. I don't know how to be a dad.
You'll know what to do because you know love. From your mother, from your sister, from your grandfather, from me. You're acting all kinds of postpartum crazy right now, but I know you're still in there somewhere. You're going to be a great dad.
He sat down 3 ounces in about 6 seconds. Nice and calm now, huh? Don't worry, Isabel. I saved some room for his mama's milk. Almost 10 pounds coming out and growing every minute. What a bruiser!
Here, let me hold him now. Isabel is not ready yet.
Oh, thanks for the candy, Agnes.
I don't know if he's a bruiser, Ma, but he is one handsome baby. One beautiful boy.
Thanks for the candy, Agnes. Mark was really craving something sweet.
Have you two decided on a name? Mark Winston III has a nice ring.
That's not on the table. Ma, we'll think of something. A name of his own.
End of play.
Our next play is written by Rory O'Connor. The name has been changed recently, so you will see it listed as either Resurrection or One Last Talk. The characters: Charlie, 70 years old, the father; Fergus, 40 years old, the son. Place: City Council House in Dublin, Ireland. Time: sometime in the late 1990s. The setting is late evening in a semi-dark living room. Fergus has returned home after his father has passed away, and his mother, Molly, is now in an Alzheimer's home. He goes into a deep meditation. He opens his eyes when he hears the voice of his father, who is now sitting opposite him.
Jesus! Where the hell am I?
How are you, Dad?
Well, hello, son. What's going on? How did I get here?
Dad, I'm delighted to see you, but I've no idea how you got here. All I know is that I was just thinking about you and Ma a second ago, and suddenly you appeared back here. Back in time and space.
Time and space? How the hell did I get back in time and space? Don't tell me. Have you been acting the bollocks with that occult stuff you've been reading? It was the cause of more rows between your mother and I with you fucking around with that lot.
Yeah, well, kind of a mix of that. But to tell you the truth, Dad, I miss you terribly since you passed away. Hardly a day goes by that I don't wish I could talk to you.
Talk with me?
Yes, but to tell you some things that I've been thinking about. That I never took the risk to say to you when you were here before.
Like, what kind of things?
First, I want to say that I love you very much and how good you and Ma were to me.
Well, that's very nice of you, son. And how is your mother?
Can I make you a cup of tea before we get into our chat?
Well, that'll be nice, son. While you're making the tea, would you put an extra tea bag in that cup with a little more sugar and milk? You know, son, I haven't had a decent cup of tea since I passed on. Would you believe that?
Are you serious, Dad? I always thought that in heaven you can have anything you want.
Yeah, me too.
So heaven's not all it's cracked up to be.
No, don't get me wrong, son. It can be lovely and peaceful. But when them angels start playing their harps, there's only so much of them harping away that I can take before I find myself getting very restless.
I think I know what you mean, Dad. I was picking up on your restless vibration. You know what I mean, Dad?
I don't know what you mean. And is that cup of tea ready?
Here. Is that strong enough for you, Dad?
Oh, that's grand, son. I tell you this, you were always good at making a grand cup of tea for your mother and I.
Well, yourself and Ma were very picky about your tea when I used to bring you your breakfast in bed, sending me back down to the kitchen with you. Oh, and we'd put a little more milk in it, or a little drop of sugar, or a drop more of water.
Speaking about your mother, have you been over to see her lately?
You needn't worry about her, Dad. As a matter of fact, I was just over there to see her the other day, and I'm amazed how well she's doing, considering that she's had Alzheimer's for a few years. Now, don't get me wrong. Physically, she's gotten very small, and she doesn't remember your name or any of the things But I only have to say, how are you, Ma? And a light comes beaming out of her eyes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, son. That feckin' disease. It broke me heart when they came to take her away, and she called it out to me, "Don't let them take me, Charlie!" It breaks me heart even thinking about it.
I know, Dad. It breaks me heart when I came home and saw you cry.
You know, son, that was the beginning of the end for me. I didn't want to live anymore without your mother.
I thought about that, Dad. Like, on some subconscious level, you willed that stroke to happen.
Well, I don't know anything about subconscious this or conscious that. Those words you use are too heady for me. All I know is she was taken away. My whole identity was gone. I didn't know who I was anymore.
I know you love Ma. And to be honest, you certainly had your rows, if you don't mind me saying so.
Well, what married couple doesn't have their rows? Jesus, you might as well be dead. Anyway, your mother and I didn't have big rows, like some of the neighbors I know. Our rows were tiny rows.
You must be joking!
Well, no, I'm not joking!
I remember when you and Ma wouldn't talk to each other for months. You had us kids running back and forth as go-betweens. Oh, go tell your father his dinner is ready. Go tell your mother I'll be in a minute. And back and forth. Go tell your father to make his own feckin' dinner.
Well, son, a lot of that is true, and I'm deeply sorry for putting you kids through all of that. But there's a lot more to that picture than you kids didn't understand. Those were hard times. And as you know yourself, we were poor, trying to put food on the table. After we had those six kids, your poor mother didn't want any more kids. And as a result, I never had sex for many years with your mother. And I'm still a young man.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Doc. Well, I can't imagine what that would have been like. Not to have sex for that long. Jesus! I'd go mad with frustration. I wouldn't know how to deal with that.
Well, it wasn't easy, son. When your mother refused to have sex with me, I take my thing in my hand, I go down to the stairs into the kitchen, and I whack that thing off the table, the kitchen table.
But seriously, Dad, come on.
Now, well, it was all very confusing for your mother and I, son. And some of the Catholic Church ideas on sex didn't help. Take your mother. She never went back to the church for more than 50 years after she was told in the confession box that she committed a mortal sin after she gave birth to you because she didn't conceive in the Immaculate Conception. Jesus! How confusing is that? Who did they think I was? St. Joseph?
More like Bela Lugosi.
Well, hold on there, son. That's sitting below the belt. I wasn't that bad looking.
I'm only joking. But seriously, Dad, we're still stuck in the fucking Stone Age. That sex is dirty and all that crap. Sure, it wasn't that long ago Ireland legalized contraceptives. Would you believe that? And at one point, you had to get a doctor's prescription. It makes me feckin' mad. You know, Dad, you have to laugh sometimes. I once read in the paper, the Irish Times, this fella was caught breaking into a pharmacy on a Saturday night. Since the doctor's office was closed that day. The following morning, he told the judge that he was looking for condoms. That his girlfriend refuses to have sex with him without a condom. And the judge said to him, could you not have waited till Monday when the pharmacy is open? Paul Elliott was fined very heavily for the damages he did to the face when he's ripping it apart looking for the condoms!
Oh, this is a grand cup of tea. You know, son, I've been a little hard on you with that occult stuff. But I must admit, I think you're on to something good. Look, can I ask you a little favor? Is there any chance you could bring your mother here? Oh, I'd love to see her and spend a little time on our own before we have to go back to our abodes.
I'll try it. But we had to sit quietly for a few minutes. Hang on. It's all set, Dad. Ma's waiting for you.
Where?
I got you a nice little room for you. Both of you, overlooking Galway.
Oh, thank you, son! Oh, I'm so happy that we had that chat. You know, I love you very much. And look after yourself. Take care, son. I'll be looking out for you.
Bye, Dad. Tell Ma I was asking for her. By the way, Dad, why did Ma go back to the church after 50 years?
Well, it was just in case, son. It was just in case.
End of play. Our next play, our final play of the evening, is Hungry for You by Gina Grady. The characters. Sarah, 30s, girlfriend of Chet. Chet, late 30s, boyfriend who's changed. And the waiter, stiff and clueless. Place. A cold, dark, dingy restaurant. Time, winter, evening. At Rise, Chet sits alone at a cafe table, a glass of red in front of him.
Chet! I'm so glad to see you!
It's good to be seen. Sarah, have a seat.
It's Chanel. My perfume's Chanel.
Good evening. My name is Damien. I will be your server.
Hi, Damien. How are you?
Well, I can't help but admiring your beautiful décolleté.
No. This whole thing? Just something I got at Macy's.
Please, bring Sarah a drink.
My pleasure.
Chardonnay. I'd like Chardonnay. I have to say, this place is cold and weird, but everyone seems so attentive to me.
Why wouldn't they, with such a lovely specimen of a girl in their presence?
Wow, did you just say that? You're being so formal.
I asked you here to talk about us, formally.
Oh, I was so surprised to get your text today. You know, it was a huge decision for me to move in with you, and I'm there a couple of weeks and you just disappear. Like, vanish.
Sarah, I never intended.
Not to mention, I've been frantic with worry. I was stuck in that apartment where I don't know where anything is, including you. Why didn't you answer my calls or texts?
I've been busy.
Too busy to let me know you were alive?
I had business. It's complicated. Something came up.
Business? I went to your work, and no one has seen or heard from you in 2 weeks. I think you're fired by now. Are you for real? I ordered Chardonnay. I ordered white wine.
Well, that is all we have. You can't always get what you want.
What's up with that? I only have red wine. What is that? It doesn't taste like anything I've ever had. It's so thick. And salty.
Best to drink it before it clots.
Clots? You're such a joker. It's bad, but it's not that bad. I guess I just don't like red wine.
I can finish it for you.
Wow. You really are going through some changes. I've never seen you without a beer in your hand, and here you are throwing back that stuff like it's nothing.
It's an acquired taste.
Why this place? I'm just saying, with all the goth stuff, the whole eerie feel, you hate the dark. You were always leaving the lights on in the apartment all night.
I met some people one night a few weeks ago. They brought me here. I've been here ever since.
Ever since?
I'm...
Here?
I'm fine.
So what have you been doing here?
Hanging around?
You couldn't pick up the phone and call me? I could have been hanging around with you.
Not likely.
This place is so unlike you. I can't get over how much your tastes have changed. Who does that? How can that happen in a few weeks?
I hadn't noticed.
Did you notice that there are bats outside the entrance? Not like one, either. There's a whole swarm of them hanging out there. It's like they're watching you with their little beady eyes and their fangs sticking out. One even dropped down in front of my face, making an awful sniffing sound. I nearly ran away screaming. It must really turn people away. I love you, but there's only so far I'll go.
I think we should talk.
You're as cold as ice. Oh my god. Don't they have heat in this place?
Sarah, I'm trying my best not to jump across the table and gobble you up.
Oh, what's holding you back?
There's a certain protocol. We have time.
Is this about the fight that we had? I know we both said stuff the last time that we were together.
It's all in the past.
I keep running that night over and over in my head.
Let's forget about it.
No, I have to say it. You were right. It all tastes the same, whether it's a slab of cheese or pre-sliced. I made such a big deal that you brought home that slab. It's just a little more work. Not that I'm lazy or anything. It was just silly of me to go on and on fighting about it. I couldn't let it go. Can't blame you for walking out. I don't want to break up over it.
I want to talk about the future. You hungry?
I can eat.
Would you bring Sarah something to eat?
Oh, it would be my pleasure.
She'd like something to eat sometime tonight. I think she's good.
Well, I want to make sure that nothing gets on that lovely blouse.
Enough! I said stop that infernal fussing!
I just like a cheese platter. Or something. Actually, I'm so hungry I could eat just about anything.
Enough!
Well, that's what we like to hear! I will choose very wisely for you.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that? That sounds like kitties. Oh, I love kitties. Are there some kitties around here? Kitties? Oh, I give up. They must not like people or something.
There aren't any cats here. It was probably the heat kicking on.
It's about time. I don't think I can feel my toes anymore.
Soon you won't have to worry about that. Can we get back to our discussion?
What happened that night at the apartment? What happened that night we had the argument?
Truth is, I don't remember a lot of it.
Oh, too drunk.
I remember walking through the park and under that bridge and running into a bunch of people. And here I am.
You seem different, Chet. I don't mean it in a bad way. I know it's only been a few weeks, but you look... well... it's almost like you've had work done. Your eyes, they look like you've been photoshopped or something. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately?
There's nothing to look at. I feel like a different person.
Are you well? You look a little pale, see?
I don't see anything.
Look at your eyes. I mean, you're right. That's weird. I don't see you in here. Maybe it's the lighting.
Yeah, it's probably the lighting. Please excuse me for a moment. I will be right back.
Oh. Hey, I don't see you in here either.
Oh, such is life. Here today, gone tomorrow. I will bring you your meal.
Oh my God!
Hey. Very nice.
Oh my God!
I think you will enjoy this. Bon appetit.
Oh my God, Chet! Oh my God!
But a little too rare for your taste? You said you were hungry.
Oh my God, Chet!
Now, take this away.
But she said she liked kittens. I brought what she asked for.
It's a little premature. She's not ready. She asked for cheese. You got any cheese back there?
Then, I will see what I can dig up.
I'm beginning to feel really uncomfortable here. I love you, but I think we need to leave.
Relax. Take it easy. I've got something to say.
This better be good, because I'm getting a really bad feeling.
I asked you to come here so we could talk about our future.
Oh, Chet, I've been waiting so long for you to hear you say that. Why do you think I ride around with my wedding gown in my trunk? You just never know. Okay, well, maybe that's an exaggeration.
You've always been obsessed with marriage. Used to drive me batty.
What?
The whole marriage thing. There are other ways to be together without the ceremony.
But the ceremony is the best part. Are you saying I'm not good enough to marry me? Bite me!
Not as a question. Say it. Calm down. She was talking to me! Say it again. Slowly.
Say what? Bite me?
Not as a question. Say it like you mean it.
You're such a freak.
Oh. Bite me. Bite me. Bite me! Shh.
This is for you.
For me? Oh, Chet, you're so full of surprises tonight. I can't believe this is happening. You got me good. I really thought you didn't want to marry me.
Open it.
Oh, wow. It's not a ring at all. You really shouldn't have. Well, it's really very different. I'm sorry, I didn't know how you fit it into that little box.
Let's talk about forever together. A lifetime. A lifetime, an eternity.
With me?
With this, you will look beautiful on your neck. Oh. Let me put it on you. There. Hmm, you smell delicious.
Oh. Chet, what's up with your teeth?
Lights down. Actors, come out and take a bow.